This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This mini-series is brought to you by Home, the postpartum hotel where mothers are mothered. Across three episodes, together with Home founder Larissa Leone and the Ready or Not community, we interrogate what it means to navigate motherhood and matrescence in modern Australia. While this series is brought to you by Home, the experiences and views about my time in their care are entirely my own. Before we get into it, I want to send my love to every mother out there. From the one who's struggling just a bit, in the very mundane way that so many mothers do, and just like I did, to the one who's struggling a lot. While this series sets out to open up the conversation of what the everyday mother goes through, if you think that you might be struggling more than that, there's help available in our show notes. We do cover themes of postnatal depression and anxiety, psychosis, and suicidal ideation within these episodes. Please, before you listen, take a moment to think if this feels right for you right now. I'm sitting at the dining table at home. It's my first morning waking up here, and the sun is streaming in through the windows. I've just had a massage, and Vaughn, who can only be described as a real-life angel, brings me a plate stacked with scrambled eggs and mushrooms and tomatoes and spinach and avocado. A steaming cup of tea soon follows, and River by Leon Bridges starts to fill the space. My mind is calm, and so I'm present. Because of this, I really hear his words.
Been traveling these wide roads for so long. My heart's been far from you, 10,000 miles gone. Oh, I want to come near and every part of me, but there's blood on my hands.
These words stay with me, so I search for their meaning. In an interview with Uncut, Bridges says, "The river in my song is a metaphor for being born again. A river has historically been used in gospel music as symbolism for change and redemption. My goal was to write a song about my personal spiritual experience. It was written during a time of real depression in my life, and I recall sitting in my garage trying to write a song that reflected this struggle. I felt stuck working multiple jobs to support myself and my mother. I had little hope and couldn't see a road out of my reality. The only thing I could cling to in the midst of all that was my faith in God, and my only path towards baptism was by way of the river." Stuck, support, struggle. Now, I'm not religious, but birth and everything that's followed it has been the single most spiritual experience of my life. And through Bridges' words, I found a thread between his experience and that of so many mothers. I listened to those lyrics again. Been traveling these wide roads for so long. My heart's been far from you, 10,000 miles gone. Oh, I want to come near and give every part of me, but there's blood on my hands and my lips are unclean. In these lyrics, I find something, learn something, realize something. For the period where sleep deprivation had got the better of me, my heart had been, at times, far from my daughter. I wasn't able to give her every part of me when tiredness consumed my every thought and feeling. Every bone in my body was exhausted, and my mind found it hard to focus on anything other than trying to remain less agitated, less sad, less frustrated. And it was then that I realized that checking into home wasn't just about my well-being. It was about how my well-being flowed onto my daughter too. My daughter and I are two ends of the same river. Always connected, our tides will forever affect one another. She floated within me, and now my milk flows to her. How could I not see until now that my distress was her distress? that my nervous system was her nervous system, that her calmness relied on mine.
I really am a firm believer on if mum's nervous system is cared for, then other things flow from that.
There's no agenda here, and so I connect with my girl. I give her every part of me, and I notice that she seems different here, thriving, the most vibrant I've seen her in some time. She's babbling more than she ever has at home. More time taking center stage is helping her in ways I didn't expect. It takes both myself and another mum of two here by surprise. We both know that a family thrives when a mother is looked after, but that sentiment holds more meaning as we look down at our happy babies. I wonder how often she's had all of me, and when I return to the real world, how I will be able to continue to savour these slow moments. I'm reminded here of the conversation I had with Lael Stone on Ready or Not, who said that it's less about the quantity of time and more about the quality, about being where you are when you are there. The reality is that when I return to my own home, I'll be going back to a faster pace of life than this perfect sanctuary provides. Larissa and the team aren't so naive to think that our lives outside of these walls operate to the same gentle hum of a postpartum hotel. So then, how do I bring some of this home, the one ending with a B, back to my own home, the one that ends with an E? And even more importantly, how can I encourage more mothers to honour their need for care and help in the way that home has honoured mine? And so I ask the team. Vaughn says, remember, your whole family will continue to thrive when you are nourished. It takes a lot of physical and mental energy to parent, and your body and mind deserve the building blocks to not just simply function, but to recover and thrive. Larissa says, hold on to the feeling that you had when you were at home, remembering you got there, and know that it is possible. Kelly says, I try to remind myself to look after me, to take time out, to nourish and nurture myself as I do the guests that come to stay at home. I remind myself to just sit and breathe, to enjoy the sun that streams into my living room, and to take in the quiet. Kate says, bringing a sense of home back to your everyday life after staying at home can be achieved by incorporating the nurturing routines and self-care practices you experienced there. Focus on creating a calming space, prioritize connection with loved ones, and embrace daily rituals that promote relaxation and well-being. Kate goes on to say, remember to honor your feelings and take things one day at a time, allowing the warmth and support you received to inspire your new routine. Be kind to yourself and your body, for what it has done is miraculous. And finally, from Mariah, while you're staying at home, really tune in and drop in to your body. Ask what it needs and truly listen. Take notice of the feelings in your body when you're feeling held, nourished, and truly supported. Honor your needs and always remember, your body holds the answer if you take time to listen to it. As a little exercise, if you're listening to this, I want you to think long and hard about what really makes you feel good, what makes you feel calm, and what makes you feel rested. Start to prioritize those things for 5 minutes a day and slowly grow from there. For me, it's that daily walk, no matter what the weather is doing, no matter how I'm feeling. It's putting lavender oil on the base of the shower and breathing in that steam as I wash away the day once the kids are asleep. And it's filling my house with the things that nourish me, the scents, the smells, and foods that I know will make me feel good. I was interested then, if I noticed such a change in my daughter, what did the team at home notice about me? Did I seem any different to when I first walked through those doors? I ask Larissa.
Yes, I certainly did notice a difference with you on many different levels, and some of the levels are all the intangible things. The first thing is I found that you were actually breathing a lot deeper. So when you came in, we could very much sense that your nervous system was fried and that there was very little capacity there, and your breaths were actually really short and sharp. And so then over the days, it was really nice to see you just like sink back into your body and It is. It's that landing back into yourself, because when we are fried and we're in that like go, 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 we just sit in our head. We actually aren't connected to the rest of our body, because our body's just going and our mind is just telling us we need to do this, and then we've got to do this, and then we've got to go there, and then we've got to do, right? So we're all up here. So what the space at home provides you is to actually fully just drop into your body and land and reconnect. And so that brings everything out of your head down into your body, and then you experience clarity. And then you actually have room to contemplate what life might actually look like and how you actually want that to feel. And so you remember those feelings when you're leaving on that last day. And so I did really notice a lot of changes with you. You know, you were speaking slower as well. There was just an ease and a calm about you that you really allowed yourself to lean into this care. There is no magic pill. There is no one thing, but I think consistently what we see is that as soon as mum's nervous system is at a point where they have space as human beings, as women, and they find a bit, even just a little bit of that, things start happening with Bubs. Whether it's sleep, whether it's food, you were in with Bubs who had the eczema, and by, you know, the time they left, the eczema was gone.
It's Thursday morning, my second last day staying at home. I'm feeling a little sad and sorry for myself after a terrible night's sleep. This time, it was just as much me as it was my daughter. If I was home alone on that morning, I would have stayed in that sad and sorry state, cancelled any coffee plans I'd made with girlfriends, and stayed inward. I was finding it hard in that short period of time to get out the door. But instead, after lying in bed on my own to have a moment while the team at home looked after my baby, I walked out to the kitchen to where Claire is quietly going about their work. The sun touches the room so beautifully that I can actually see sunbeams down the hall. It's as though it's some sort of magic. Those bright flowers greet me in the middle of that table, and they make me happy. I think of my Nana again. I feel like she's there in the room holding me. Claire is making me coffee, cooking me blueberry and carrot breakfast cake, telling me about their kids, who are a bit older than mine. We share stories and thoughts and feelings, and I'm no longer thinking about sleep and the lack of it. I'm thinking about how much better this angel in front of me has made me feel, how important connection is, how this is really what they mean when they talk about the village. Later that day, I'm sitting beneath the big tree in the garden. It's one of those perfect spring afternoons. My feet are submerged in a soak filled with fragrant flowers and magnesium. I have a snack plate to my right and a tea to my left. I turn to the mother next to me, tell her that I think this will all feel like a dream when we return to our own homes. She's become somewhat of a sorority sister in this space for mothers, and she tells me that she thinks it already feels like that. Not quite real, and I agree. It all feels like a dream now, and in my dreams, I bring each and every mother in the world to this corner of it. To the place where mothers are mothered. I watch their feet slip beneath warm bodies of water. I watch them exhale. I watch them being held. I picture a world in which every mother is afforded this opportunity that I was so lucky to take. Just imagine what sort of world that would be if mothers were properly held, if mothers were properly mothered. This is a Ready or Not production brought to you by Home, the postpartum hotel where mothers are mothered. I'd like to thank Nicole Ryanstein for helping me create this series, and also Michelle Andrews and her recent production Glass for inspiring me.